according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During Lent, we have been talking about God as being a God of the covenant. And today, we encounter the prophet Jeremiah. Now, for some reason, it seems that people who are called as prophets find ways to make excuses for why God should not have called them. We heard from Moses, I can't do public speaking. Go ask my brother Aaron. We heard from the prophet Isaiah, "I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips." And one of my favorites, Jonah, "Don't send me. They're the enemy. If I preach to them, they might repent and you might not destroy them. Please don't send me there." And Jeremiah had his own excuse. Let's hear Jeremiah's excuse for why he should not be a prophet. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," meaning Jeremiah, "saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations.' Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy.' So his excuse, 'I'm too young.' Do you think God accepted that excuse? Nope. Instead, God said, 'Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" And so the Lord sends them to preach to the people. And Jeremiah, I can say, is not the cheeriest of books. Does anyone here have Jeremiah as their favorite book of the Bible? I didn't think so. Because this is a book mostly of condemnation. It is a book where he has to prophesy that bad things are going to be happening to the people, that they have refused to repent, and that therefore exile is coming. And exile does come. It comes in a terrible way. And Jeremiah is asked to do many strange things as a prophet. If you don't believe me, go home and read chapter 13. Or as I would tell my confirmation kids, Don't read chapter 13. You don't want to read chapter 13 of Jeremiah. Oh, no, no. Anything but chapter 13. I don't want to put ideas in your head. That's the one about the loincloth. If you don't remember it, go home. Read chapter 13 and see some of the strange things God told Jeremiah to do to witness to the people. So a lot of this book is really rather depressing, because it tells the people how sinful they are and that they are going to land in exile. And they do. For a long time, they are in exile. As our reading today said, that God sent Jeremiah with the message that you have broken the covenant, people of God. Even though I was your husband, you've broken the covenant. Now, you might wonder which covenant have they broken, because there have been so many of them. God has made covenants, as we talked about early on, with Noah. He made covenants with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses, and it's probably the Mosaic covenant we're talking about. Remember those Ten Commandments? Well, they didn't all the time, and so they broke them. And you'd think that the entire book of Jeremiah might be a book of reproach. But there is this section that is called the Book of Consolation. These few chapters that tell the people that there is hope. And that's where our reading from today comes. Jeremiah begins that surely the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the people. God hasn't given up on the people despite their continuous breaking of God's law. God has not given up on them. God is faithful. God fulfills God's portion of the covenant even when the people remain unfaithful. And so God tells Jeremiah to comfort the people with the words that a new covenant is going to be made. Not like the covenants before, not like the covenant even of Sinai. We will make a covenant that will be set in their hearts. A covenant written on their hearts. And in that covenant, God will be their God, and they will be God's people. And because the law is written on their hearts, because the covenant itself is written on their hearts, they will know God. They will no longer have to question who God is, what God means, what God is all about, because they will have that within their very hearts. So that even the least among them, and even the greatest among them, will know who God is, because it's been written on their hearts. And these words of comfort, that the Lord will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That despite how many times they have broken their side of the agreement, God remains faithful. And God will put this new covenant in their hearts and forget all of the past. And in our psalm, we hear those words as well. Create in me a clean heart, O God. A clean heart upon which this covenant can be written. Renew a right spirit within me. Meaning not my spirit, but your spirit, O God, put within me. It says, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your bountiful spirit. Those are words that should be engraved on our hearts. And I think over the course of this week, I will ask you to look at these words, pray these words fervently. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with your bountiful spirit. We are rapidly approaching the end of Lent. And how many of us thought that we'd be further along in our spiritual journey than we are right now? I'm going to be the first to raise my hand. All of these things that I plan to do to become even closer to God, somehow daily life has kept me from many of those things. And so this is a prayer I need to pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Put your spirit within me, not the spirit of the world, not my own selfish spirit, but put your spirit within me. Draw me closer to you. Draw me closer to your spirit. Because the days are short. Not just the days of Lent. Next week we have Palm Sunday, and then we enter Holy Week. But we've been told over and over in our readings for Lent how short life is. How we need to repent. And how we need to repent now. Because this moment is the only thing given to us. We don't know what the future holds. Do you truly believe God has written God's law in your heart so that you know God? If so, spend these next days of Lent drawing ever closer to God so that your heart is ready not only for the great feast of Easter, but the eternal banquet to come. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, our hymn for Lent, God of our life. You'll find it in your bulletin.